Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We say hello now to John McClain, HoustonTexans.com, who joins us. John, hope you had a Merry Christmas. The Texans did not, but hope you did.
Well, I did not because I had to cover that game and sit through it. I thought about walking after halftime like so many did after Beyonce's incredible show. But I've never left a game in 48 years early, so I didn't. And, of course, it was awful. I think the Texans are going to lose to the Titans. They'll, I'm sure, rest a lot of starters, and I don't know if it would have mattered considering the Titans embarrassed the Texans here. And then they'll lose in the first round of the playoffs no matter who they play because their offense is broken. C.J. Stroud, because he's been hit so much and because he's been chased so much, he seems to have lost his confidence, his accuracy. He's not the quarterback who was 5-1, now he's 4-6. And it's not, I don't, some of it's his fault, but most of it has been because they're terrible pass protection and run blocking, specifically in the interior of the offensive line, which plays right into the hands of what the Titans will have for them in the last game of the season. Maybe the Titans fool around and win their last two games here and get people fired up for next season and lower their first-round pick.
Do you think Bobby Slowick is going to be the one that kind of pays for that, or do they are they aware of what their issues are and know that they just need to go fix that?
I'll tell you what is weird. Last year the Texans started a league-high 12 offensive linemen because of injuries, and they had to start some guys who aren't in the league anymore, and they had the same coaches, and the line wasn't a problem. And this year, with everybody healthy, now they're not now, but most of the season they have been, and with the same coaches, they've basically been terrible. It's not the tackles as much with Laremy Tunsil. He's still their best pass protector, and Titus Howard, the right tackle, moved inside the left guard out of desperation. But they have too many guys get beaten at the point of attack, and seldom does Stroud have time to throw. And yesterday he had some time to throw, and he was off target too much. So Bobby Slowick is the offensive coordinator and play caller. Last year he was the fair-haired boy, had 5 interviews for head coaching jobs. Now everybody here wants him fired, but I'll be surprised if he's fired. I think more likely they'll have major changes that start with the offensive line coaches, although I feel for them. It's not their fault when guys are beaten off the ball.
You got to see Lamar Jackson up close and personal yesterday. He passed Michael Vick's rushing record for a quarterback. I mean, he just continues to do some really special things. You also saw Derrick Henry yesterday. But watching Lamar live, I mean, what stands out? Because I feel like he's going to win his third MVP.
I do, too, because he's more accurate than he's ever been. When the Titans upset the Ravens in the playoffs 3 years ago, I think it was, he was about throwing the ball down the middle, but he wasn't good throwing to the boundaries. Now, some of that was because he didn't have good receivers. And now he completes it all over the field. If his rating of 121.6 keeps it up for one more game, he'll be second in NFL history to Aaron Rodgers, who had a 122.5 in 2011. He's already set career highs, 39 touchdown passes. He has, of course, that rating. He has a career high 3,955 yards passing, 67.9%. He's better than he was in either of his MVP years. And he and Henry just make each other better. 145 of Henry's, I think 147 yards were between the tackles. They just annihilated the Texans' defensive line. And it's amazing what a great job they do coaching, and what a terrible job the Texans' offensive coaching has been. But I tell you, it's Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. Those three teams in the AFC, and right now, the two that I would pick would be Baltimore at Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, a repeat of what we had last year in Baltimore.
We're talking to the great John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe show. And, John, to kind of piggyback on Chase's question, I was reading somebody that covered the Ravens and said, look, when you watch them on TV, it's something else. When you watch them in the stands, it's something else. But when you watch them face-to-face on the field, it's something else. How impressed were you by seeing Lamar Jackson and just how well that team runs?
Well, I've seen him so much. I saw him twice last year. He's now 5-0 against the Texans. The average scoring margin is 33-8. Wow. That 31-2 score yesterday is only third time in NFL history we've had it. The other two were 1936 and 1965. And so Lamar is better because of Derrick Henry, because they drafted Zay Flowers last year. They've taken pressure off of Mark Andrews. Isaiah Likely gives them a dual threat at tight end. They have so much balance, and their offensive line is so good, so dominant, and they have adjusted Henry inside, Lamar outside. Lamar just makes one great play after another, and he's still able to do it. And, you know, it's funny. He's only 27 years old.
Ouch.
His first season was when he's 21. We have guys who will be rookies next year who are his age. And that's why Josh Allen's coming off a terrible game. And they almost lost New England. I think they play New England again, maybe the Jets. It's an easy schedule for Buffalo, but Josh Allen's going down. Lamar Jackson's going up. And when you have a great game on national TV late in the year, that helps your resume more than anything.
Well, you talk about the Chiefs, you know, they got the first round bye, and they're probably not going to play anybody next week that goes on. But, John, just watching that game versus the Steelers yesterday, I mean, they look – we talked earlier, we used the word bland. They're very bland, but you know they're going to win. And they're not doing anything fancy that they haven't done the last 3 or 4 years. It's just very hard to cover that football team.
They went to Pittsburgh. They beat up the Steelers. They did it without their best defensive player, tackle Chris Jones. They did it. They're not a big play offense. In fact, I saw a stat listing teams that have not scored more than 30, and it's three bad teams and the Chiefs. And yet they keep winning. Their defense is so not underrated. Everybody knows their defense is great, but there have been times when the defense has carried them. They're more of a nickel and dime team right now that mixes it up great because of tremendous calls by Andy Reid, and it's funny. They've been criticized for most of the year, and they've lost one game. And two of the last three, they've been blowouts. You know, the Texans lost by one score up there. And that's why a lot of people thought Texans had a chance against the Ravens. I picked the Ravens to win at 33-8 because that's been the average score. And right now, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo, but Buffalo is not getting any tough tests, and Baltimore is. Pittsburgh's schedule has been unbelievably difficult down the stretch. They've lost three in a row. They're not in the same class with Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. I can't wait for the playoffs to see what Lamar Jackson continues to do, and Derrick Henry. But what we see Derrick Henry doing is not anything new.
No, that is for sure. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Thursday. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. So, John, the Titans announced that Mason Rudolph will make his second consecutive start this week. We saw last week, I think he was okay. The team wasn't very good. They're not a good team. That's just where we are at this point. But what do you think this means moving forward for Will Levis? Could you see him having another home next year, or could he be a part of the competition that the Titans are probably going to have in the offseason?
Boy, that would be something, wouldn't it? They bench him here at the end of the year instead of letting him continue to use it as a learning experience. I think it depends on what they do at quarterback. They're going to they'd love to be able to draft somebody that they like, that they think could be the franchise quarterback. They may have to sign a veteran. I don't think there's any way Sam Darnold is getting away from Minnesota. They could tag him for a year, see what happens with J.J. McCarthy as the backup, and then the Titans would need to get a bridge quarterback. But we can't count out this draft just because the so-called experts are saying it's not a good quarterback draft. As I've told you guys before, the scouts don't pay much attention to what they do in college. They want to see what they do afterward, at the Senior Bowl practices, at the combine, at the private workouts, at the pro days. And that's when guys can emerge, Anthony Richardson being the perfect example of how a guy can take care of the offseason and then so far not be worth the fourth overall pick. Yeah, but so there's a quarterback that could just put on a show in all those events we're talking about, blow them away, and when they go to lunch and dinner and they fall in love with him. So you can't rule out them drafting a quarterback in the first round. Look where Denver got Bo Nix. Look where Baltimore got Lamar Jackson. So that's got to be their top priority. And you hope they're able to get a guy that they say, this is our guy, we're going to develop him. But, you know, that Brian Callahan's got to be able to get his own guy.
Is there going to be much of a market for Kirk Cousins? Because it feels like that relationship in Atlanta is about to come to an end.
He's got to be gone. It's amazing he can get out of town without getting thrown in jail based on what they've given him. He's going to walk away with. He won't have to have a lot of money with his new team next year. He'll get a job. There are always jobs. Daniel Jones will be gone from Minnesota. There'll be a market for him because if you go back and look at some of the games, actually a couple of seasons he had, he was pretty good. But they failed him, but so badly with poor offensive lines. And they just didn't do – letting, like, Saquon Barkley get away. So the Giants did him a disservice. So he'll be another quarterback out there that people will call – a bridge quarterback, and there's a lot of teams that still need him. Ideally, if you're New England, you lose out and you end up Giants take the first quarterback, and then New England is in a position with Drake May to listen to offers. And if you can get two or more teams bidding to trade up for your pick, then you got a chance to make a haul.
John, a lot of speculation. Pete Carroll wants to get back in coaching. They've mentioned the Bears and all that. He'll be 72, 73 years old. Any chance the Bears look at him like, yeah, he's our guy, or does Pete, is it over for Pete?
No, I think it's over for Pete. I think it's over for Bill Belichick, and I think the Bears are going to go offense. They'll start with Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator. You know, it's funny. Would you rather have a guy like Pete Carroll, who's won a national championship in college, won a Super Bowl, should have won two except for a boneheaded offensive play call against the Patriots on the goal line. And Pete is a very young, he's got his hair, he's thin, he has boundless energy. If you watched him walk around all the time, you'd think Pete Carroll was 63 instead of 73. And if he gets an interview, he'll be impressive in interviews, much more impressive than Bill Belichick is. And Pete's not a control freak. When he was there, he had final say for a while. John Schneider, the GM, had final say. I would certainly interview Pete if I needed a head coach. Number one, pick his brain. Get every morsel of information from him that you could use with somebody else. So I hope he gets interviews. I'd love to see him back in the NFL with a third team or fourth team. But I'd be surprised if it happened.
Friend of mine says, ask John if Sean Payton is the coach of the year in the National Football League. I would have laughed at this a couple weeks ago, but he's done a damn good job in Denver, John.
He's done a great job in Denver. I don't think he'll get it right now. I think Kevin O'Connell at Minnesota, they were picked last in the division. Now, they've got a tough closing schedule, but he has done a fantastic job at one point. Mike Tomlin, he's lost three in a row. Dan Quinn is starting to get some momentum again because they have bounced back in Washington. But I think he would deserve to be right now number two to me, and Quinn three and O'Connell number one.
John, your comments on how Sean McVay's done with the Rams, because they've won four straight. They're pretty much out of it. And that's a sneaky good football team.
They're going to win the NFC West, and Matthew Stafford gives them a chance to win almost any game. And the thing is, they've done a really good job of picking the last 2 years. Remember, for years they didn't have high picks. They traded everything. Mm-hmm. And now they've showed they can get them high. They can get them in the middle rounds. They're building a tremendous pass rush. Now, if they're on the road and they're playing outdoors, and people say, well, he played in Detroit all those years. Yeah, Detroit plays indoors. And so he has played outdoors in bad weather because he had to go to Green Bay and he had to go other cities in the east and northeast and play. So it'd be easier for him than a guy who played his whole career inside. But I think they're a dangerous team, and McVay is a great coach capable of winning any game.
True or false? Mike McCarthy is going to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys next year.
I'm going to say true now because based on what Jerry Jones has said, praising the heck out of him, he doesn't sound like a coach who's going to be gone. And the fact that some players led by Dak Prescott have spoken out for him, I think Jerry likes him. McCarthy's an easy guy to like. And I tell you, boy, their fan base is going to be mad. The media is going to be mad. Everybody is going to be mad if he keeps Mike McCarthy.
Well, I just feel like this is kind of the – he held on to Wade Phillips too long, I think. I think he held on to Jason Garrett too long, and it just seems like this is a pattern for him.
People always act like Jerry's quick on the trigger, and he's exactly the opposite. Even Dave Campo, never should have been a head coach, but Jerry is – I remember Wade Phillips is the only coach he's fired during the season. And Wade was fired. He came back to Houston because his daddy was getting a roast and toast. And I was there. I was one of the guys roasting him. But beforehand, Wade comes in just right before it started, and he's walking down these stairs against the wall, and people start clapping. And then they stand, and they start clapping. And Wade looks behind him to see who's come in. And it's because the Texans had a bad defense. And I told him, you're going to be next defensive coordinator of the Texans, and he was, and he turned around from 30th to number two in the league. They made the playoffs for the first time, and Jerry Jones always regretted firing him during the season. But I think McCarthy's coming back. Now, if they fall on their face in these last two, he's got to go. But if they've got a little momentum with Cooper Rush is playing better than Dak Prescott played before he was hurt.
Oh, I agree. And, I mean, they find a way to do it. Cooper Rush is going to be an interesting one to watch, too, because I feel like he's a backup, but you might see a team that looks at him and thinks, oh, he could be a bridge starter.
He has started two times for Dak Prescott when he's been injured lately, and he was 4-1 the first time. I don't know what his record is now, but I do know this. He has played very, very well. If I was a team interested in a quarterback, a bridge quarterback, I'd rather have him than Kirk Cousins for sure.
Yeah, going to be interesting for sure. John, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you sometime next week.
Guys, thank you very much. Happy New Year and happy holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. John McClain joining us here on the program. We'll react to some of the things he had to say. Plus, we welcome your calls at 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025-1063 The Game.